Morning. I'll tell you what's on my heart, and that is something that has kept coming up almost every day in some way or other, either for myself personally or with people that I am in communication with, either by telephone or email or by mail or whatever. And that is the fact that in life, no matter where you go and who you are, there's always something. There's always something of a negative sort. It's like you're moving along, things are looking good, and then wham, something hits you between the eyes and knocks you off your feet. And at just about the time you get back up, there's something else. And that's part and partial to being on planet Earth in the human race in a sin-impregnated world where Satan, as the god of this world, is constantly trying to undermine us. But there's always something on the other side, too. There's always something from the Lord, who is resurrection and life, to restore and make whole. But nonetheless, as we go through life, the thing we're most mindful of and most overwhelmed with are the negatives. And they just keep cropping up everywhere we turn. Some examples. I got a letter in the mail from a lady that I met in Costa Rica a number of years ago. She's now visiting family in Florida. And while she was here, she was in an automobile accident and has to be in the hospital for a period of time, and then from there going through therapy. And for her, there's always something. She's involved in ministry and missions in Costa Rica and Nicaragua, but not now, because she's stranded and stuck in a place and she's in a bind. There's always something. I got an email from a pastor that I communicate with periodically from Malawi. Malawi is experiencing a great plague over there of cholera. And they're reporting how many people in their church, including the senior pastor, had died. And this is a pastor that's telling me about his other pastor friend. And now that guy died in the cholera plague. And then if that isn't enough, then I get an email from a pastor friend in Uganda. And actually, I got him on Facebook. He saw me on there one day. And you got to be careful about Facebook because people are always seeing you on there. And they're always wanting to have these chats, which I don't have time for. But you know, your heart goes out to people in other countries, and undoubtedly they're isolated and lonely, and they need an encouraging word, so I'll get on and answer them. And this man begins to report that his wife's health is bad, and so I ask back, well, what's going on? And, well, she's pregnant, expecting a child, but she's got malaria, and she's running a fever. So there's always something. And, you know, we can sometimes console ourselves by saying, cheer up, it could be worse. But whatever you're going through at the moment is the worst for you. It sure feels like it. And you think it is. And most of all, the effect it has on you. This week, we were lying in bed, had just gone to sleep, and about that time we got a phone call. We rolled over and, well, it was our daughter, and we thought, well, let's see if she leaves a message, which she didn't. So then just about the time we dozed off again, another call from her. And she was saying, Our grandson is very sick, and so he's having a lot of virus going around. I'm sure some of your families have had those. Well, anyway, so the question was, can you come over first thing in the morning? Talking about my wife. I'm not too good about helping on those things, but and I had a counseling appointment. Actually, she was supposed to be helping me with, but there's always something. So she had to get up early in the morning and go over there and tend to all that. I had to do double duty of counseling and helping these other people, which for them, there was always something too. About in the middle of that, I got a call from another minister who's going through some very serious, depressing, discouraging times in his life and marriage. So it's like everywhere you turn, there's always something. Sometimes they're large and sometimes they're small. You're driving somewhere and you need to be there in a hurry, and suddenly you realize you forgot to get gas. Now you got to stop for that. And then there's a traffic jam. Well, somebody had an accident or something, and now you got to do a detour. There's always something. And what do these somethings do to us? They upset us. They frustrate us. They irritate us. Sometimes they overwhelm us. I got a message from a dear friend that I haven't seen in a long time, but very special friend that I knew for at least 10 years and meant a whole lot to me and our family. And the email was, we thought he had maybe pneumonia. And when we went to the doctor, we discovered, in fact, he had cancer. And not just any kind of cancer, but incurable cancer. And in fact, already the doctor has said, you've got to go on hospice. Well, we all know what that means. It means the end is fast approaching and there's nothing left you can do. And so I called and probably talked with he and his wife for 45 minutes on the phone, shared, prayed, encouraged. But here's what I say keeps coming up. In every one of these conversations or communications, the same scripture kept coming to my mind. And that scripture is found in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26, verse 3 and 4. What do we do when all these somethings come crashing down around us? How do we deal with the somethings, the negative somethings of our lives? Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. It says there, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. And every time I thought of someone, and myself included, and our stuff that we're going through, I was constantly being drawn back by the Lord to this scripture. And I believe that this scripture is a word to the weary. It's a word to the weary. You know, we hear the phrase, a word to the wise is sufficient. Well, a word to the weary, a word from the Lord, is also sufficient. In fact, more than enough. And this word is a word to the weary. So if you're weary by the somethings in your life, if you're overwhelmed by the somethings in your life, this is a wonderful truth that has been a sweet anchor for me. Something that keeps drawing me back and getting me focused so that I can remain steadfast in a world which is tumbling out of control and pulling me down every step of the way. Look again. God promises to keep us in perfect peace. First thing we have is God is simply saying, I'm going to keep you. So let's remember that we have someone to turn to. We're not alone in this overwhelming struggle that we find ourselves going through in life. We're not isolated. It's nice to have friends and family we can share with and talk to. But at the end of the day, as good as it is to have them, as encouraging as it is to hear from them, if we don't hear from God and get connected to God and draw upon the strength that comes from God, it's still not going to sustain us. It's still not going to satisfy us, and it's still not going to carry us through the difficult times. And so what will happen to us is we'll just continue to be drained and drained and drained by the somethings of a negative sort in our lives. So let's look again at what I'm focusing on here, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4. First of all, God will keep you. He will keep you. Now, to understand that, we see in the New Testament just how effectively God is able to keep you and on what basis he's able to keep you. For instance, in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, verse 5, 1 Peter 1, 5, he tells us that we are kept, how? By the power of God. By the power of God. You see, if you're going to be kept, you've got to have someone bigger and stronger than you. Now we can say, oh yes, I know God's bigger and stronger. But do you know it in the sense that you're looking to him to keep you in the somethings of your life? Or are you allowing the somethings of your life to overwhelm you and distract you from the one who is there to keep you? And if you're doing that, then he's not going to be able to keep you because your mind is cluttered with the stuff. Your mind is overwhelmed with how you're going to fix it or how you're going to protect yourself from it or what you can do about it or who you can get to take care of it for you, but you're going to lose sight of the one who's there who can and will keep you. Keep you. Keep you. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my keeper, David would say in the Psalms, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my keeper. He is here and he will keep me. He will keep me where I need to be. He will keep me in the sense of taking care of me. He will keep me in the sense that he will provide for me and protect me. The Lord is my keeper. And we've got to lock in on that because in the middle of the stuff, we lose sight of him. I just heard something this morning someone was saying, and it's like they went through some things that it's like, God, I know you're there. At least I know the Bible says you're there, but I sure don't feel like it. But that's where we got to go back and refocus and say, wait a minute. Here's what God says. He is my keeper. He will keep me. We can hear about how he keeps others. We heard great stories this morning. Someone got healed. That's them. But what about me? I'm hurting now. What about me? I'm going through the stuff now. What about me? It may sound selfish. On the surface, it is selfish. But then it has to start with you. If you don't, if your life doesn't come together, if your life isn't as it should be and could be in the Lord, how can you possibly be a help to anybody else? So it has to start with you. Yes, the Lord will keep you. He will keep you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. Now, as he does this, he says he will do it in a way that you will know his peace. Perfect peace. You see, peace, if it's peace of any worth at all, comes from God. And Jesus is known as the Prince of Peace. Because all peace is derived from him, and all peace is only available in and through him. And he is saying, I will keep you, and furthermore, I'll keep you in perfect peace. It's one thing just to be kept, but to sense the peace that calms the troubled emotions that we all are racked with. I mean, inside we've got pain and anguish. We can put on our happy faces. We can say the right things. We've been taught how to go through the ropes and go through the motions and do the right stuff. We know what we could and should do, and we say it and do it. But inwardly, we're just wrenched. It's like we're being twisted and turned every which way. And we are. And yet Jesus is saying, I'm coming to deal with that inner trauma. Do not let your heart be troubled, he says, because I know, in fact, it is. I know it's troubled. I know these things have disturbed you, unsettled you. And in fact, yeah, they've hurt you. I was counseling with a couple recently, and the wife kept saying, yes, but you don't understand how much it hurts me. How much it hurts me. How much it hurts me. And let's be real here, folks. We have been hurt. And the pain is deep. And it is still, for many of us, very vivid. The instance I'm referring to with this other person happened way back, probably 15 years ago. But just to bring it up in the conversation evoked pain of an enormous magnitude. And that pain can be eradicated in the Lord. The event cannot, it happened. But the pain, it can be removed from us by the grace of God. He heals broken hearts. There's where the pain is. Do not let your heart be troubled. It means you don't have to continue to go on with a troubled heart that's racked with pain. Because Jesus says, as you have believed in God and said you'd believe him to be the Almighty, so you can entrust your life to me, and then I'll take care of you. I'll take care of the pain. I'll heal the hurt. I'll restore. I'll make you whole. This is his offer to us. And so he keeps us in this perfect peace by his very presence. You see, all peace, as I've already established, is in him. And as he is in us, and as we allow him to be the focus of our lives and to fill us with his presence, guess what? We're filled with his peace. And he refers to it as the peace that passes all understanding. Beyond human comprehension, doesn't make sense, doesn't seem right, doesn't seem fair, doesn't seem reasonable. I don't feel like I deserve it, but he does it anyway because he loves us. And as the Prince of Peace, he wants to lavish his peace upon us. It comes with his presence. And as we allow his presence to fill us, as we stay focused on his presence in us and available to us and through us, his presence will bring forth that peace, the peace that calms our troubled hearts, the peace that settles our confused minds, and the peace that resolves the conflicts that we find ourselves in. So it's a peace, it's really a twofold peace. It's the peace within, as I'm describing, it's also the peace without. It's an inward peace, it's an outward peace. And so he's given us peace on both sides. So that whatever the circumstances are, when Jesus was with the disciples and the storm there on the sea, and he said, peace, be still. And he comes to us and he says to us, as he said to them, peace, be still. All is well with your soul. Inward. Inward peace. When Jesus speaks peace, I like the Spanish. Paz en nombre de Jesus. Peace in the name of Jesus. And to speak the name of Jesus is to speak the one who is life and peace and everlasting strength to us. And to say that is not some magic potion. It is to focus us on a living person who wants to be real and alive in the moment of our circumstance, of the agony of our pain. And as we do that, we draw our focus off of the stuff that's got us so stirred up, so upset, whether it be a person or a circumstance, and we get it back to where it belongs on the only one who can do anything about it. And even if the circumstance doesn't change, suddenly we experience an inward change from the trouble, turmoil, and turbulence within to the calm and the peace that passes understanding. That's the peace that He keeps us in when our mind is fixed on Him. And the Apostle Paul would say, yeah, we have fightings without and fears within. And the Lord, understanding those fears and those fightings, those conflicts, He comes, as I said, to bring both inward and outward peace, the kind that settles us and calms us and establishes us. But we have to understand that what He's saying here, though, is that it requires a focus on our part. So look again. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. He's talking about a God consciousness, more in the particular, a Christ consciousness, an awareness of Him that keeps us fixed and focused on Him, because it's easy in the day-to-day stuff to get distracted. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be talking, thinking Jesus all the time. But there has to be a mindset going forward so that as the stuff happens to us, we're already locked in. Because our mindset is, Christ is in me, Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, rules over me, and therefore none of these things can move me. They can't unsettle me and take my life apart and tear me up. They just cannot do it. Many years ago, as some of you know, in 1996, on the streets of Bermuda, Lou had a tragic accident. I thought she was gone for sure. And within 24 hours, she was miraculously completely restored and healed there in the hospital in Bermuda. But as we were in that hospital during that 24-hour period, I was holding my Bible, which is very special to me. These Bibles are out of print, and as I've told you, I now have a new one. But nonetheless, holding that, and it slipped out of my hand, and as I grabbed it, one of the pages tore. And that's never happened in my Bibles. I keep them 10, 15 years. That last one, I think, went 15. And so I really guard this carefully, because this is the tool. This is the primary thing that means everything to me. If my house burns down, this is going out with me, along with my wife, of course. Okay, so, but it tore. The page tore. And I'm looking down at this page, and I'm thinking, how could this happen? It's like, as if it isn't enough, my wife is going through this, and that she might be about to die, and I'm all by myself over here in Bermuda. At that time, none of the other family had arrived, and there I am in isolation, and all alienated, and stranded, and stuck, and wrung out by physical, mental, emotional pain, and then my Bible tears. It's like, what, you know, and we always think to ourselves, can it get any worse? Yes, it can, you know, and unfortunately, oftentimes does. But so, and you think, well, that's a small thing, a Bible page tears. I mean, my gosh, just go get another one, get over it. That's what Dennis would tell us. And so, but at the moment, you don't feel like getting over it. In fact, there is no getting over it, because you're in the middle of it, okay? At that moment, you're stuck in it. And so as I looked at it, and I was just devastated at how could this be, and one more thing, and, you know, and I've already had to go through the how could God let this other stuff happen to me. And now I'm dealing with this, and then I look, and all of a sudden the Lord said, He can tear your hide, but He'll never tear your heart. Yeah, He can tear some of your stuff. And he can tear some physical things about you that you're going to have aches and pains. And as we get older, and hey, I got to tell you, we figured out that we're the old people now, Lou and I, and so we're having aches and pains. You know, I always used to wonder, why do people always ask me every day, how'd you sleep last night? Well, I can tell you, it wasn't a good night last night. We were both awake. I mean, she was wide awake, and I was asleep. Then all of a sudden, she got up about the third time, and then it woke me up, and it's up and down, up and down. It's like, well, how do you sleep? Well, by the grace of God, you do sleep. That's the most main thing. And you have to pray, whatever little sleep I get, Lord, I'm asking for 8 hours. Make it worth 8 hours, even if it maybe only is 80 minutes or whatever. But you can, yeah, okay. So Satan can tear the stuff around us. He can tear the stuff away from us, tear up our property. You know, there's always things. Yeah, I mean, one day I walked In the family room, my son runs up the stairs saying, "Dad, come quick, the basement's flooding." You know, it's like, what? Every time you turn around, there's going to be something. So we can't avoid that. But we do have an anchor that'll hold us firm and keep us steady through these negatives of life. But he says, he'll keep us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on him. And the way our mind gets stayed on him, he says, is because you're trusting in him. That is to say, in that sense, you have entrusted your life to him. Now, we've all been taught to distrust through a world that's full of hurt and heartache. And so we learn and we're conditioned to distrust. But he's saying, hey, you've got to go beyond that because you can trust me with your life. But you've got to entrust your life to me first. And so he's saying in this first part, the mind that stayed on him, the mind that's fixed and focused on him, even in the subconscious sense of knowing his presence is there, is the one who has entrusted themselves to him before the fact. Okay, sure, while I'm in it, of course, eventually I wake up to the fact, wait a minute, the Lord is here somewhere, let's get him in on it. But if I've already entrusted myself to him, as I go into it, I'm in perfect peace. These things don't move me. Why? Because I've already entrusted myself to him. You say, well, I asked Jesus in my heart and I'm going to heaven when I die. Yes, but have you really given your life to him? You know, it's one thing to give your future in heaven when you die to him, but what about give yourself to him now? Let him take all that you are and have and make it what he wants it to be. That's where it begins. And then thank God for heaven when I die. But I got to live through hell on earth. Now, let's be real. It's a hell here. There's all kind of hellish things happening. And of course, it only gets worse when you die. But you get a taste of it here and a glimpse of it, which should bring any of us to our senses. Saw a thing on television just recently, and this young boy is saying, well, I had a dream and a vision, and I saw it, and it was bad, and he starts crying, and it's like, and then the person says, and if that doesn't make a believer out of you, I don't know what will. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, that ought to, but unfortunately, all too often, it does not. And yet he's saying, once you entrust your life to me, not just ask me to come into your heart, but Lord, I give you my life. Now you're in a place of perfect peace. But he says, but that's just the starting point that gets you established and settled in him. Now it's an outworking daily. And so the next verse that he gave us there, verse 4, Isaiah 26, 4, he says, trust in the Lord forever. Hey, that's an ongoing trust. So he's saying, sure, you can experience the passive entrusting of yourself to him, which brings you up to a place of rest in him, and therefore the peace of God is now within you. And sure, you've got the peace with God in terms of your past, and that's settled. But there's an ongoing challenge to life. You've entrusted yourself to him, but as you get in the circumstance, what do we often do? We backpedal. We suddenly try to look for some plan B or C or D, and we start trying to scramble to put something together instead of, wait a minute, the Lord is here. I've already entrusted myself to him. What am I getting all into this for? And then we consciously trust him with the specifics of every detail of every day of whatever it is we're going through. So that's why he's saying there in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever. Just continue to trust him with the specifics. Even as you have now entrusted your life to him, keep trusting him. And that's why it's called a walk of faith. Because every step we're trusting him to guide us, in us, and through us to deal with whatever. And so he's saying, because in the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, he's saying, wait, the greatest of all, the creator of all, him who can do all things and needs nothing and has everything is in you, has imparted his life to you, and he is saying, I have the strength you need. Is everlasting strength. For the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. He's got that which sustains us. So no wonder that in the writer of Hebrews, his description of this, Hebrews 12:2, he says, just look to Jesus. Now we hear that all the time. We hear that verse all the time. But let's get clear about this. It's good to hear it. But what about in the moment of the something negative that's coming to you? What are you looking to? Are you looking to the circumstance, to the person that ripped you off, to the person that that is taking advantage of you or whatever? Or are you looking to Jesus in it? I'm not denying that the things and the circumstances are there and they hurt and they're harmful and hateful. But let's get beyond that to the one who can do something about it, who can at least carry me through it and enable me to endure it and come out the other side without the smell of smoke. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had to go through the fire, and they did go through, but they came out and they weren't tainted by it. And that's the way God will enable us to deal with our adversities in life. So we look to Jesus, and that's exactly, if we go back to Hebrews 11, 27, that's exactly what Joseph did. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Or was that Moses? Maybe I got my mind straight. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. What did I say? Hebrews 11, 27. So how do we endure? We've got to be mindful of him. Yeah, Moses. And Moses was mindful of the Lord. And because he was mindful of him, because he had a mindset that was conscious of the Lord's presence and the Lord's sustaining grace in his life, he was able to endure. Now, endure is far more than just grin and bear it. It is that which is described in Romans 8, 37, of one who is more than a conqueror. One who doesn't just sort of grit your teeth and go through it and say, "Whew, I made it," but one who comes out the other side triumphant and victorious and says, "Yeah, you know, because God did it. God got me through it. God came through again." That's what God does. Because why? Because we are trusting him every moment in every detail. And that will enable us to endure. Now, you know, this perfect peace reference, there's a similar thought in the book of Philippians in chapter 4. And Paul tells us there, yeah, that we've got a lot to worry about, but he says in Philippians 4, 6, essentially, don't worry about anything, but trust God with everything. And then in verse 7 he says, and when you do that, the peace of God, God's peace, the kind of peace we're describing, the peace that passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ, by means of Christ. So God's peace will be there for you because Christ is there in you, and as you're looking to him and trusting him, he's going to allow you to experience his peace, cool, calm, collected, in the midst of what otherwise would turn your world upside down. And so that the final instruction, verse 8, whatever things are pure and lovely and good and true, he says, think on these things. There's your mindset again. Well, who's pure, lovely, good, true? Well, that's Christ. And as you think on him, you'll see the pure, lovely, good, and true stuff that he brings into your life. And that's what you'll be able to focus on. And you'll not be overwhelmed by the negatives. Because, yeah, there's always something of a negative. But as you focus on him, as your mind is staying on him, as you're trusting him in the specifics, the opposite of those somethings, of the positive sort, of God's presence, of God's power, of God's provision, of God's protection, will also be there to counteract every negative with God's positive of perfect peace and provision for your need. So Jesus tells us, look, he says, I understand in this world you're going to have tribulation. John 16, 33. In this world, he says, yeah, you will have difficult times. But he says, don't you know, I have spoken to you that you might know my peace and experience my peace. In the world, tribulation. But he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because of tribulation. He says, yeah, and I'll tell you why, he says, because I am here. Be of good cheer, the Lord is here. That's what. Be of good cheer, the Lord is here, not just for me, but in me, to keep me and sustain me and take me through the stuff that is so hurtful and harmful and hateful to me. Be of good cheer, because the Lord is here in you to take care of you. So the exhortation from 1 John 5, verse 4, who is he that overcomes? This is the victory that overcomes, even our faith. So who is he that overcomes? He that's born of God. And how do we overcome? By faith. That is, looking to Jesus, author. He began the good work in you. Finisher. He's going to take you through it all the way to the end and come out the other side in glory. And there forevermore shall you be with the Lord. Let's pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for perfect peace. Because, Lord, in this world we do have tribulations, and how well we all know that. It does seem like there's always something, because there is always something. But even as the negatives keep cropping up, so you show us the counterpart to that in your glorious positive of your sweet presence and your perfect peace. How we thank you for that, Lord. So, Father, I pray now, this moment, right now, we would just say, oh, Lord, okay, I give up. I can't deal with these things. There's too much on me. There's too much in me. I'm mentally and emotionally wrung out, Lord. And so I give up right here now, and I say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Take control of my life. Yes, I give myself to you, Lord. I ask you to take me and make me what you want me to be. And I thank you that you're going to keep me in perfect peace as my mind is now fixed and focused on you. Lord, cause me to have that God consciousness, Christ consciousness awareness that you as the Prince of Peace rule and reign in my heart and life. And Lord, that the peace that passes all understanding is going to cause me to continue to remain steadfast and immovable so that none of these things will move me anymore. Thank you, Lord, for your wonderful presence of peace, peace, peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God.